Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today, our guest has a little bit of knowledge about athletic training, sports medicine, and different aspects of athletic training, but has a little experience with a round ball that some people throw about 100 miles an hour. So we're excited to hear about her experiences, her role in athletic training at the level she is currently at, and then discuss how she got there. I would like to welcome today Rachel Purcell of the Oakland A's.
Now just the Athletics.
There we go. So now just the Athletics. I should have asked that beforehand because as I said, I went, wait a minute. What are we?
You're on to something because I'll catch myself as well. This will be my third season with the Athletics, but my first 2 years were obviously with the Oakland Athletics. And now with us no longer being at home, we are playing at Sacramento.
The Rivercat Stadium, right?
Yes,
that's correct. A cool little stadium. I really like that one.
It's going to be really nice. They just finished a new locker room clubhouse over in left field, so we'll be using out of that. It's going to be, well, as of right now, for the next three seasons, and then hopefully our Vegas home will be done. But for now, we are just the Athletics.
Just the Athletics it is. Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for educating me because that's always the goal of this podcast. So I appreciate it. But if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, where you originated from and how you got into this profession, where you're at now.
Yeah. So how I got into athletic training was a surprise to me. That was not the goal. And I did not even know what it was originally.
So funny. I hear that so often.
Yeah. So I got my undergrad at Seattle University, and I originally went with a degree in nursing. I did nursing school for 2 years, and I realized it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And I always loved healthcare, and I always loved the human body and everything about that. But you think you would know this going into school, but with nursing, everyone's sick all of the time. And you don't get to see the upside or they get better and they leave.
This is true.
I was very lucky. I was on the track team at Seattle U all 4 years of school. I had an athletic trainer my junior year who was absolutely incredible. Her name was Megan, and she showed me that I could have sports and I could have medicine and do it together and travel around and help them when they're good and also kind of pick them up when they're bad and everything else in between. And that's when I switched my degree to sports and exercise science. This was back in 2011, so there wasn't a whole lot of master's programs. I decided I was going to finish up grad school, and I did an entry-level master's degree in athletic training from California Baptist University.
Know that university very well. It's only about 45 minutes when I drive from where I work. So
So I got my athletic training degree, so my master's, and then from there I just kind of took off and have been in baseball for quite a number of years now, and it's led me all the way to the Athletics.
Looks like at a point when you first bounced out of college and started working, you spent a little time at universities, including Grand Canyon, Scottsdale Community, so out in Arizona, spent some time there and bounced back over to UC Riverside. Know that one very well. Some great people have come out of UC Riverside. And then you went to something called Urban Golf Performance.
Yes.
So I'm wondering what that is, because we all know what athletic trainers, or most of us know what athletic trainers do at the high school and college setting, but what was that?
I don't know if you remember this little thing called COVID happened.
Now I
And
try to forget that actually.
yes.
I drink heavily on the weekends to forget about that. Yeah, no.
COVID happened and athletics were not happening, especially in Southern California. Well, all of California, really. I still needed to find a way to, make some ends meet. And I was also getting the feeling in my personal life that I was done with college baseball. I felt like I had really seen a lot over my 7 years in college baseball and I loved it, but I had the itch for more. I wanted to do more. So I stepped away from UC Riverside and started at Urban Golf Performance, which they have a few locations in California, and I believe they just opened a location in Texas. They do one-on-one golf coaching, golf fitness, and then golf recovery. So I was a recovery specialist at UGP in Costa Mesa, and we could either go in and help with a lesson. So let's say Uncle Bob had a knee replacement. Doc was like, you should probably be careful when you're golfing. Rotational is kind of hard on the knees. Well, Uncle Bob could hire myself, the recovery specialist, to come into his golf lesson and work with the golf coach and make sure that, everything that he was doing was safe, that we weren't hindering him or his range of motion or his flexibility and causing more problems. Or he could have his lesson and then come see me after for an hour and we could do any kind of corrective exercises, we could do massage, mobility, cupping, whatever, the works. It was really fun because I've never worked with an older population before. I've always had the young, healthy athletes, especially 18 to 22 was my specialty with those college guys. And the older clients love to tell stories. So,
Oh
not.
God, yes. Yes, they do. I
Yes.
remember working in clinics. Yep.
So it was a really unique experience. UGP was phenomenal at training us and teaching us the golf lingo because obviously, coming from baseball, I knew the motion and the rotation, but I had never played more than mini golf. So I couldn't really, connect. And I will say that company, their ownership, they do such a wonderful job of making sure that you are on top of it and knowledgeable. And it really was a five-star experience. Yeah, I just got to meet some incredible clients who were just wonderful. So that was honestly a blessing in disguise. I never would have done something like that unless I had to look outside my comfort zone during COVID, and golf fell into it, and I got to learn how to play golf. And so now I play to have some fun and just to blow off some steam, and something I never would have done again, but really added an extra little joy into my life and meeting a lot of interesting people I never would have gotten to meet.
So Uncle Bob, I've got a fun Uncle Bob story. When I worked in the clinic and we had a Uncle Bob, he was actually a friend, legitimate friend of my uncle's, Uncle George. He had his total knee done and he came in and he's like, Eli, if I known I would have been able to shave 7 strokes off my game, I would have had this done years ago. And
Yeah.
then he looked at me, he's like, I'm thinking about having the other one done and I'll go on the tour. I'm like, it doesn't work like that, buddy. But okay, I'm glad you shaved 7 off your round just by getting a total knee. Some of the stories are fantastic with that
Yes.
population. From there, you went from Urban Golf, ventured into the Texas Rangers Baseball Club. I think I've heard of them before. And
Yes.
wow, so at this point with your baseball experience, you're able to bump up to the bigs, huh? Very neat.
So for that, so I worked at UGP during COVID, and then at the end of the baseball season, the major league season, the COVID season. So now it's September of 2020, and I reached out to Texas and I was like, look, I saw that you had a minor league position available. I don't know what your staff looks like since during COVID, everyone's had to make some major cuts. If you're looking for an athletic trainer, I would love the opportunity. Within 2 weeks, I was moving to Arizona and I was full-time out of their Arizona complex.
Cool. Now, was
It
that
was so
single A,
exciting.
double A, triple A, independent? What was that?
So the Arizona complex is unique. It was rookie ball, so it's the first level.
Got it.
But a perk is because your spring training stadium is home base, especially for any of those guys, minor league guys that are on the IL or injured. You always have your coordinators in front office that'll kind of roll throughout the year. So you get exposure to a lot, but my personal responsibility was the rookie ball team. And then if they needed extra hands to help with like a rehab group or something else, then I would just be available at the complex. Rookie ball in Arizona for the Texas Rangers, and it was great. And my second year with Texas, I was promoted to low A, which was the Down East Wood Ducks in Kinston, North Carolina,
The
which
Ducks. I like that.
unfortunately the Wood Ducks are no more, but
Oh, such a cool
again,
name, too.
yeah, the Woodies. It was great. The town was small and different from anything I had ever experienced in my life. But traveling through the Carolina League was a great time, and I had a phenomenal manager. So our head coach, Steve Mintz, was just such a great mentor, and it was a fun time to travel around with the team.
That's awesome. From there, you ventured out of baseball and it, or you know what? There's a little overlap here. And that's how we kind of found you initially was Athletes Unlimited.
Yes.
And really want to venture into that before we get into, well, the athletics. So can you explain what Athletes Unlimited is? Because I know some people have no idea. And if you can discuss it and then, well, what your position was or still is.
So this is what's so crazy about nowadays versus when I was out of school, right? And of course, I'm like dating myself a little bit. I had no clue what Athletes Unlimited was. And after Texas, there is a little bit of overlap, you're right, because I got the job with the A's, and the spring training stadium for the A's is in Mesa, Arizona. So that's like a specific part to this. We'll circle back to that. But I had a message in my LinkedIn inbox from someone from Athletes Unlimited asking, "Hey, we're looking for an athletic trainer for this upcoming volleyball season. Let us know if you're interested. We think you'd be the perfect fit." I thought it was spam. I
Who
thought
is
it was.
this? What do they
I
want? What's
was
it
like,
going to
what?
cost me? Yep.
So, of course, one thing I love and a mentor taught me is never say no to an opportunity or never say no to an interview, even if you know you don't want it. Just take it.
Words to live by. I say that all the time.
Yes. So, you never know who you're going to meet. So, of course, I email back and I'm like, I would love to hear more information. Turns out it was the medical director for Athletes Unlimited. And she was looking for an athletic trainer in specifically Mesa, Arizona, to help with their professional women's indoor volleyball season because they were going to be playing all of their games out of this giant, beautiful arena down in Mesa. And in order to not have to worry about housing, and they were looking for someone local, it would be easy. My LinkedIn popped up because when you search Mesa athletic trainer, my profile comes up.
Bing, 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 bing. Hey, look at
Yes.
me right here. I'm there.
And the other thing that was crazy was when I was at UC Riverside, I had baseball and women's volleyball. So I had done indoor volleyball before at a high level. So I reached out to a former UC Riverside volleyball player and I was like, what is this? And she shocked me. She was like, "Rachel, that is the Elite Pro American League that has just started, and it's unique because it's invite only and they can only take so many players." And so she let me know it was the top 40 players that were going to be playing for Athletes Unlimited,
Oh,
and
wow.
I was asked to be the head athletic trainer for it.
Oh,
So
wow.
as
That's
soon as I
cool.
got a little bit of credibility and did my own fact checking, I emailed BJ, who was our medical director. I emailed BJ back immediately and I said, let's do it. Let's roll. We'll figure it out. I was so lucky this past October because the Olympics had just finished. So all of those girls that had done Olympic time or training with Team USA were now looking for gigs outside to continue playing. And it's also a short season before the long full professional season, which most girls go to Europe or they're playing in the new Love B League. And a lot of them are doing that. So this was like a warm-up season, like a 5-week fun warm-up season, make some extra money, dust the cobwebs off after their off season, and then transition into their bigger full-time contracts. I don't even know how this fell into my lap, but it was a phenomenal spectacle. I cannot hype this up more. I already told them, if you're doing this again, I would love to do this again. The girls were great. The competition was high. They play against each other and switch teams every week. So everyone gets to play against each
Oh,
other.
wow, that's cool.
Yes, they redo the rosters every week. It's based on like a point system that they have. So it is traditional indoor volleyball, but it is done in the unique Athletes Unlimited way to create more incentive, get some bonus pay if you have higher stats. And the girls were so nice. They were great. Especially after working with the boys all the time, it was fun to go have a season with the girls. So I loved it. I loved it.
I understand that. I work at an all-boys school and I only have daughters, so there are points I'm really happy to go home. So different, so different. That brings us all the way to kind of where you're at now. And you are with the Athletics. It sounds like you, or if I read correctly, started at the minor league level and then kind of worked your way up, and now you're with the team. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Minor league baseball is so interesting because until you're in it, you don't really know. For me, I worked 7 years of college baseball and I kind of knew that there was levels, but you don't realize how intricate it is until you're actually in it. The position that I started with was the Arizona complex for the Athletics. Full-time Arizona helping, same thing I did with Texas, but now I'm with the A's. So rookie ball, helping if there's any rehab guys that need some extra hands-on care. I don't travel. All those guys come here to Arizona and come to me, so I help with spring training. Rookie ball, we do a little instructional league and then it's the off season. For the last 2 years, that's been great because now that I'm getting a little older, I would like to be a little more settled and try to make some friends. Work-life balance was important to me. And when you're traveling and moving around all the time, it's really hard to maintain those friendships and see your family. But this off season, after doing the volleyball, I was so pleasantly surprised. They've asked me to go work for the Double A team. So I will be the assistant athletic trainer with the Midland Rockhounds, and I'll be traveling with the A's Double A team this entire season. So I'll be moving to Midland, Texas in April. I'm excited. I haven't traveled in a couple years, so it's fun to kind of switch it up. With Double A, you get a lot of your prospect players. So guys right out of the draft will come, and it's just a higher level, more intense level of baseball that I'm so excited to watch after being in Arizona for a couple of years. So it'll be a really great experience.
The Midland Rockhounds. Some of the names at the different levels are just so fun and so unique.
Yes.
I went
One of
I'm
my favorites is definitely the Double A team. I want to say it's the Angels. They're the Trash Pandas.
I've seen that hat, actually.
Yes.
I've seen that hat and looked at it. What the heck is that? The names are so unique and so cool, and the logos are fun. Yeah. Congratulations on that. Good luck in Midland.
Thank you.
So, you've done a lot of evolving over the last several years to get to where you're at now. Not coming out of the gate thinking you were going to be an athletic trainer. What really inspired you to say, yep, nursing ain't the thing, but it's going to be athletic training? What really poked you in that direction?
So for me personally, growing up, I never did very competitive travel or club sports or any of that. My parents were very good with my siblings and I, where they let us kind of do a camp here, maybe some tennis lessons here, basketball at the YMCA for like a 4-week summer camp. Like, I feel like I've tried all of the sports, which was great. It wasn't until high school that I really did a more competitive sports setting. And that was when I realized I was always a little bit faster than some of my friends. So I was like, well, I'll give track a try. And when you are practicing track, it's not fun. But when you race and you win, you're like, I can keep doing this. And I did sprints in the relays. So nothing over a lap. I knew my limits. I knew I was fast, but I didn't want to do a lot. And when I got to college, I wanted to keep running. And honestly, athletic training really stuck when I met my athletic trainer my junior year. Her name was Megan. She was great. But when I was in athletic training school, getting my master's, my very last semester, I was interning with Riverside Community College, and the head coach there at the time was Dennis Rogers, who was a California baseball legend. He actually worked for, I want to say, the Pirates previously, so he had some professional experience. RCC was kind of his last hurrah. I'm going to finish up. He had some state titles. This, like, I he has his own. I want to say he's in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's got a whole list of accolades. But he knew I ran track in college. And so I was just going to be the sports medicine intern, get him ready, stay in the dugout, just kind of, if no one gets hurt, I'm hands off. I just kind of do my thing and observe. I'm just a student. And he was like, Rachel, you ran track. You could do the team warm up. And I was like, okay. He's like, oh, the pitchers have to run. They need some conditioning. Pitchers, meet Rachel on the warning track. You're gonna go foul pole and do whatever she says. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I was a little over my head. But at the same time, when you're given those opportunities, I've always been taught fake it till you make it, just
Amen.
see where it goes. You're a student, you're allowed to make mistakes. So if you mess up, he'll let you know and you'll do better next time. He threw me in. I wasn't just the athletic training student. He was asking for my personal opinion, what I had done as an athlete, what worked for me, what didn't work for me. He showed me it could be so much more. He also showed me in baseball, I wasn't going to get bored because this is definitely something, maybe all athletic trainers, but specifically for me, I love track, but I knew I couldn't be a track and field athletic trainer. I couldn't hear the kids come in every day. My feet, my shins, my, like, it's just the same.
I have no comment. I won't. I can't
No.
comment on
And
that. Track
I was
season's about to start
that.
here. I've got no comment. I plead the fifth. I'll go there.
I was that girl because I was the track girl, So I always have a soft spot, and I will always do a little extra. But I knew for the long, like for a career, like kudos to those athletic trainers because I was a pain in the butt. So he showed me not only was your starting pitcher doing something different than your closer, than your middle relief, your catcher, your corner infielders, your middle. I was all of a sudden my whole world was Pandora's box. It was, it's like the more you know, the less you know.
Oh, yes.
That was the moment. So then I was like, okay, you know what? I think I want baseball and I think I could do this for a long time. And he actually did a summer ball team, the Victoria Harbor Cats in Victoria, British Columbia. And he was like, Rachel, if you pass your BOC, you're coming with me. I was like, Canada? Like, are you kidding? I'm supposed to get a job. Like, what are you talking about? I will say, everyone told me no. My professors, my parents, they're like, you need to stay, you need to interview. And I went, and it was the best summer of my life. College summer ball was so fun. It was the perfect way to get a little experience on my resume. It was gonna have an end date, just those 3 months, and that was it. But we traveled all through Washington, Canada, and Oregon, and I had a blast. And I was like, yeah, this is it. I want to do baseball. I want to travel around. I want to see everything. And the thing with the minor leagues, too, and with baseball is there is a little bit of humility that comes with it. Because even when you make it, you haven't made it. Welcome to the show. Actually, you're down here in rookie ball and you're going to be in A ball for a while. And maybe if you're lucky, you get to play double. Like the guys get it and they're going to ask more questions to the strength coaches and the athletic trainers because they know it's the long game. I need to be able to play for years if I'm going to make it. So that was also a small piece, maybe selfishly of me, is now I have a population that's really asking for my help and really wants the information. That also inspires me because now I'm going to work hard because they want it and they want the right stuff. And I think one of the great things of being an athletic trainer is I'm not an athletic trainer, I'm a career extender. Like, how can I get you to play for as healthy as possible, as long as possible, and maybe teach you something you didn't know you could physically do, give you that little edge. And that's like where I'm at now. How can I extend your lifespan in this sports career?
I love that. I am a career extender. That's such a great quote. You might want to coin it. You might want to patent that. I love it. Put it on a hat. I mean, throw it on,
Get that at the
Insta.
bottom of my business card.
There you go. There you go. That's an awesome comment. I love it. You've really had a fun and rounded, although mostly baseball, but rounded experience as an athletic trainer, which is very fun to hear. So many people come out going, "Oh, I just want to make sure I don't work high school. I want to make sure I go straight to community college. Oh, I want to only do the pros." But you've kind of done a little bit of everything.
Well, I won't lie to you. I
Uh-oh, here it comes.
definitely went to my professor. He probably remembers this conversation.
And which
So,
professor was this?
Mr. Russell Baker.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Dr. Baker is, well, he's now up in Idaho, but at the time he was at Cal Baptist. And in order to graduate, you had to experience, female sports, male sports, upper body, lower body. Football was required. You had to do a football stint and you had to do a high school stint. Now, I had managed to get out of not doing my high school stint, and we're
Uh-oh.
going into that final little bit right before graduation. And I walked into his office and I was like, "Listen, I don't want to do high school." And he was like, "Well, Rachel, you have to do high school." And I was like, "Well, I have 8 weeks left. And with high school sports, I know that I could teach them a great foundation in to get into college sports because I was a college athlete, so I know what kind of information and, work ethic it takes. But for high school, I have to call mom and dad every time because they're not 18 yet and I can't really do my thing and I feel restricted and I just don't know if that's the crowd for me." And I don't know how I managed to finagle my way. I had to work at a PT clinic, actually. That's not true. I worked at a PT clinic in the mornings for high school kids that didn't have an athletic trainer. So I would go from 6 to 8 in the morning, take care of those guys before they went to high school. And then I went
Ah, so
back to
you
RPC.
wiggled your way around,
I
found
finessed
the
the system a little
loophole, and
bit.
went there. There you go.
And I don't know if he would have let anyone else do that, but I was pretty set, and he could tell, like, this is what I'm going to do. And I got very lucky.
That's where I work. We currently have three athletic trainers. Two of us swore up and down we'd never work high school. I started saying that many, many years ago, and I also swore I'd never teach in 27 years into it at this school. Well, I'm a liar. Then our most recent hire, you'll love this, rotation has to do the high school, has to do this, has to do that. Oh no, I'm going industrial. Yeah, well, 2 years later, still working at our school and loving it. So just kind of funny. Everybody finds their way. And at different times. So if you knew exactly what you wanted to do in the direction, shout out to Russ for making it happen. But some of us are surprised where we end up and why. I still don't get it. Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
I mean, if you had asked me how I ended up at UGP and why, couldn't that was a wild. So even though I had a plan out of school, we've done a full circle moment and we've been to quite a few locations. And how I was speaking of your LinkedIn profile. So before I found UGP, Athletes Unlimited came up. I hadn't quite gotten into the Texas Rangers yet. And I was like, well, what do I want to do? I also applied for an industrial position, actually with Tesla. And I remember due to all the interviews, and I'm like, there's no, I got this in the bag. Like, I have Division One experience. I've traveled. Like, there's no way. And I was like, with Urban Golf Performance, I've now got my older clientele. Like, I'm a shoo-in for this job. I didn't get it. And I was like, what? It's honestly, the industrial setting is so interesting because there's this whole health and safety network that goes into it and the business model that goes into it. And it's just a side of athletic training that personally I have no business or knowledge or experience in. Even when you think you're at this one elite setting, there is a whole other side to athletic training that is still completely untapped. Like,
So
I couldn't
true.
tell you anything about industrial. I learned some stuff through that interview, though, which I'm glad I took it because now I have a bigger appreciation for everyone that does the Amazon, and there's so many cool industrial settings out there.
So true. Our field is just growing and growing and growing. If you would have told me 20 years ago when I, or well, more than 20 at this point, almost 30 years ago when I started, I never even would have thought of performing arts. And I've done a bit in performing arts at this point, or industrial, or military, or fire, working with police departments. So many colleagues are doing different things. It's just so neat how our profession has evolved into different areas. But then there's those of us that, well, we like baseball, we like football, we like track-ish. We'll leave it at that. Yeah, it's just fun to do what we do at a high level, isn't it?
It is. And I feel I don't want to knock the track kids. Like, don't get me wrong. It does take a certain skill. And to be good at it, you have to be very fine-tuned and focused. But every time I leave baseball, I always catch myself. I'm like, I miss it. I need to go back. I miss it.
You know what you like, and that's good. Now, earlier you mentioned work-life balance. And I think that's one thing all athletic trainers struggle with a little bit. How do you work on trying to keep that work-life balance going?
It was definitely harder as a young athletic trainer to say no, right? That's the hardest part, is learning where your boundaries are and when to say no.
Two little
So,
letters are so big.
now with how hard we work during the professional baseball season, my off season is my time. I'm going to spend it how I need to, whether that's resting, whether that's with family, whether that's going on a vacation. It doesn't need to be something specific. It needs to be more, I don't know how to say it, maybe more of like an intuition feeling. Your body's going to tell you what you need, and your mental is going to tell you what you need. And if you keep ignoring them, or you don't listen, and you don't say no once in a while, then your body will make you take a break.
That's a good comment, because so many of us, I remember being young, God, that was a long time ago, but always saying yes. And as you get more settled into your career, we won't say old, we'll say seasoned, no becomes a heck of a lot easier.
My circle is becoming smaller, obviously, as I become more seasoned. And now, so my family lives in California. I grew up in Southern California. I'm obviously living full time in Arizona now. So when I do go home to visit family, I don't let everybody know I am home, because then instead of a break to see everyone, I'm booked every day until I get back, because everyone wants, I need to do a lunch, let's do a dinner, let's grab this, I haven't seen you, let's catch up. And I end up overdoing myself because I want to see everyone and I want to do all the things. So as far as work-life balance, I have chosen to spend time with the people that have really invested in me and have really pushed me to be where I am today and really support me. That's one thing, was there's a difference between people that admire you and people that support you. My dearest friends, we actually all went to high school together and we still keep in touch. They are in California and it's so lovely to see them and their kids. And I had a friend, her birthday this past off season, she really wanted to go to Mexico. And I was like, you know what? 5 days, let's go. And then I'm spending the rest of the time with family. As far as work-life balance during the season, it's kind of the same. So we work 6 days a week. We have Mondays off. In Arizona, you have Sundays off. It's either a me day where I'm just hanging out at home and I just need a day of nothing, or I'm gonna try and find something outdoorsy. I love being outside. In Arizona, we have tons of hikes. We have the Salt River. We have, there's some lakes out here. I wouldn't call myself a foodie, but I love going to new restaurants and trying things. So a way to spend time with friends and feel like I'm somewhere else is we'll try a new restaurant that we haven't been to. Yeah, I really think it took a long time for me to learn the difference between the people that admire you and the people that truly put in the time and work to support you. And now that I've kind of honed in on that and who those people are in my life, my work-life balance has been much easier to maintain. And I don't, it doesn't stress me out. They understand if I need to go quiet for a little bit because I've been overwhelmed and I'm exhausted. But they know when I perk back up, it's like no time has passed. And those are the people that really make you feel fresh, like you can keep going forever.
And at that point, little wave to mom and dad. Where did you grow up? What part of SoCal?
So I grew up in Mission Viejo,
Oh,
and my
of
parents
course.
are still there. My sisters are actually still there too. My brother now lives in St. Louis, Missouri, but I went to J. Sarah the first, I was the first 4-year graduating class. So back, I'm really dating myself now, but
Well,
yeah, J.
I,
Sarah Catholic
yeah.
High School back in, ooh, 2007, I graduated.
Yeah, well, I'll date myself. I remember going down there after they opened it because we played them in some sports. And I was had already been the athletic trainer here for about 10 years. So, yeah, thanks for making me feel very seasoned. I appreciate
Well, we're both seasoned at this point, but I
that.
will say the fun part of which also this would have completely changed my trajectory if I hadn't gone to J. Sarah, because I was supposed to go to Mission Viejo High School and their athletics is always state top ranked.
Of
Like if
course.
you are good at Mission Viejo, you got a commit somewhere. You're going big. J. Sarah was so small that they just needed bodies to be on these teams. They didn't care if you had never played before, if you had played before. There was always like a couple people that were very talented and supposed to play sports. And then here I was. All right, here we go. I don't
Let's have
know.
some fun.
Yeah. And I
Yep.
ended up being good at it. And so when I think about Mission Viejo, I was like, yeah, I was faster than my friends, but would I have done the track team at Mission? No way. No way. At J. Sarah, it was fine. And it ended up getting me a small athletic scholarship to Seattle U. And I never would have, I really truly believe I never would have been an athletic trainer if I hadn't ended up at J. Sarah. So shout out
Everything
to mom and
happens for
dad
a reason. Thank
for
you,
making
mom and
me
dad.
go. Yeah, for making me
Yeah.
go to the private Catholic school I didn't want to go to and wear a uniform I didn't want to wear.
All right, we can have mom and dad just email us, connect with us at Wrap It Up, Sports Medicine and More, and we can edit that little clip out and make it your phone ring for when Rachel calls, if you would like that, okay? Not a problem. Just hit me up via email and we'll take care of that for you.
I'm telling you right now, Bonnie would love that.
Well, okay, we'll make sure the producer Gabriel, did you hear that? You're going to edit that out for Bonnie. Got it? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Oh, that's awesome.
That's so
That's so
funny.
awesome. Very funny. And such a great place to grow up. Good high school. J. Sarah has really evolved into a pretty good athletic school, but at the same time, it's nice to have that difference down there of being able to go to a private Catholic school if mom and dad want you to, as you found out. So,
Yeah, the other really nice thing was because it was so small, everybody knew everybody. And there was only freshmen and sophomores that first year it ever opened. You just made some really good friends. And again, nobody knew what we were doing. We were the first year that was ever there. The teachers didn't know. We didn't know. But
everybody's winging it.
yeah, we're all winging it. But thankfully, some of that staff, I think there's a few that are still there. Again, just World class, so sweet, so supportive, so nice, and really helped us. I want to say a lot of my classmates are off doing phenomenal careers now, so it was a great experience.
Everything again happens for a reason and makes us who we are. And I'm
Yeah.
sure somebody's going to hear this and go, wait a minute, I went there. I know who you are. You've evolved from Little J. Sarah High School all the way up to the athletics and working with them. What have been some of the highlights
Oh
throughout the
gosh.
years?
I will say, when I was at Grand Canyon University, that was really after working with Dennis and being the trainer at RCC, my first full-time real, if you want to call it quote unquote real job, was at Grand Canyon University. And the coach at the time, his name was Andy Stankiewicz, and he was very involved with USA Baseball. He used to be an assistant coach at Arizona State before he got the head job at Grand Canyon. He formerly played for the Yankees and the Diamondbacks, and he ran that GCU club like a pro team. And of course, I didn't know it at the time. That's my first experience. That's what I'm thinking every team is like. This is college baseball. Boy, was I so spoiled to have him as a head coach, because he really taught me, where to be, what to do, timelines, expectations. He was so good about a schedule. He was so organized, attention to detail. And so I was unknowingly picking up all of those habits. And in 2015, we won the WAC, which was the Western Athletic Conference. And that team was really special because the guys really put in work. We were the underdogs. We had just turned Division One, and we're playing these big schools that are like, who is Grank? Like, who is this? Stanky taught those guys to really light a fire under them. They're like, we aren't supposed to win, but we've practiced harder and we put in the time and we put in the work, and here we're going to show. And that's the beautiful part of baseball, is the game can go either way. It could be a good day for someone and a bad day for someone else, and baseball is, it's tricky like that. We won the conference, so that was a huge win. I got my first ring with my name on it, and I felt like I was on
Very
cloud
cool.
nine. So I loved my experience at Grand Canyon. And then growing up in Mission Viejo, I was an Angel fan. Back then, the Angels were really good. I also loved when the closers would come in, because that was like the exciting, you hope to hold on for the last inning, you want to win. And I didn't know this when I applied, but the head coach at UC Riverside was Troy Percival, who was the closer for the Angels when they won the World
Oh,
Series.
yes. Oh, yes.
And at the time, one of the very few pitchers that threw over 100 miles an hour. So I'd never been starstruck in my life. And of course, I'm on this interview with the sports medicine staff, and they're like, oh, we're going to go over to the baseball field and you can meet the coaches. I almost fell over. I was like, this man has no idea. I know exactly who he is. I was his biggest fan. Like, you could ask my dad about it. We used to joke about it. And he was, hello, nice to meet you. I'm Troy. Welcome to the city. This is what we have. And I'm losing it. Internally, losing it. On the outside, quiet, calm. Inside, I'm a
Didn't hear a
puddle.
thing in one ear,
Yeah.
out the other, because you're just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yes. Of course, I didn't tell him until like 2 years after working for him. This is like two full seasons. I was like, oh, by the way, you were my favorite player. And he's like, what? Troy and I, we've stayed in touch. His son Cole was on the team and basically helping Cole, and he got drafted. I think he actually just signed a deal. He is playing for the Yankees now in their minor league system.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, working for Troy, and obviously one of my like favorite players of all time. Like, what are the odds that you end up in the same place? And again, so I was very lucky. Highlights: learning from Andy, who has pro experience, and then learning from Troy, who has over a decade of professional MLB experience, to go into the Texas Rangers. Like, those two set me up for success. And again, it was random. Like, oh, I didn't plan that. So yeah, I actually had all of these little stepping stones that made it ready. I was ready to jump into pro ball. And I would say now a highlight is being asked to go work as the assistant athletic trainer for double A for the A's. This is the highest level that I'll ever, well, that I've been at so far. I really feel like it's just such a privilege, and I'm excited to show what I can do and hopefully one day end up in a big league dugout. That would be the ultimate dream. So some people make it, some people don't. If your medical team is young and no one's leaving, then I could be stuck in Midland for a couple years. Like, you never know. Pro ball is, it's such a whirlwind. I would say if you continue to learn, and if I keep taking, different continuing ed class and staying on top of it, the opportunities just keep rolling in. That's definitely another highlight, is having the chance to take a lot of continuing ed classes that really just continue to push me forward. So I feel like that was a really long-winded answer, but
No, it was fantastic. Like I told you before, if I'm quiet, you're doing great. So that was awesome.
yeah.
And you know what? You hit on something that I've heard over and over and over. Never stop learning. Not in our
Yes.
profession. You can never stop learning. You got to keep pushing yourself to become more knowledgeable, pick up new techniques, because you never know what tool in that toolbox might work for that next patient.
Right. And medicine is a science. So we're always doing new studies, new learning, new technology. If you're not open to change, then unfortunately you will fall behind. Again, I think that's another thing that helps me from getting bored. I have to stay on
Right.
top of it.
I tell my students when we're teaching, if you stall out, you go the way of the dodo. You become a dinosaur. You're useless. Stuff we did back in the 50s, here's a salt tablet because you're dehydrated. We don't do anymore. And they sit there and they look at me, well, why didn't they just drink Gatorade? Guys, it wasn't invented yet. That's why. So you're right. Keep educating yourself. Keep up to date.
Right.
Get those cutting edge things because you never know when you're going to use that tool.
Right. When you talk about dinosaur, you go back and you read some of the old baseball stuff and athletic training in baseball, and they thought, you need a lot of external rotation with that shoulder to be able to throw and be able to throw harder and faster. So a long time ago, athletic trainers used to stretch only into external rotation. And they didn't understand total arc and coming into internal and how there needs to be a degree of both. So, unfortunately, I think we ended up like setting some people back because we forgot to give them more internal rotation. We were so focused on external. And now, obviously, as we've done more work and more science and understand the shoulder better and the body better, it's a complete opposite of what they used to do. So, that's another one you can use for your students, is we used to stretch people the wrong way.
I will. That's a great opportunity for learning if they
Yeah.
listen. That's always the catch in
Correct.
class. So we'll see.
Correct. Correct. I will say I did do one semester as an adjunct professor at Grand Canyon University. I taught pharmacology on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I learned I teaching is not my calling. I also think I had a class I didn't love. I think if I had a rehabilitation class or something a little more therapeutic exercise, I would have loved it more. But when you're teaching how the body absorbs ibuprofen for 2 hours off of a
Oh,
PowerPoint,
God,
I
painful.
feel my students were troopers.
Yeah, I think if I was teaching that all the time, I'd be out of teaching as well.
Correct.
Yeah, we all know the boys can tell when I hit a chapter that, yeah, I'm not a big fan of, but we got to get through it. So let's do this. Mr. Halleck, you weren't as animated or as enthralled or as vested in this chapter. I'm like, yeah, let's get rid of it. Come on, next, 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 next. Let's
Yeah, you're
get to the
like,
real stuff. Come on.
no further questions.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe you are a good teacher. You just haven't had the right class to teach yet. So.
Yes, I'm not going to say no to a future in teaching, but I am going to be more selective about the classes that I teach.
And at this point, you can do that.
That's true.
That's
That's true.
true. You can. Again, I go back and I wrote it down. You are not just an athletic trainer, you are a career extender. And that could be in education as well. Who knows?
There you go.
There you go. This is fantastic. This is so much fun. I'm having a blast, Rachel. So thank you for making this such an easy interview. It's been so fun to go through kind of your career, how you got there, who's led you there, who's helped you, even though you're an Angel fan. Just kidding. Actually, I love the year they won it. That was so fun to watch because it was such a pure team.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a team effort. It was so fun to watch. And as a SoCal kid, you know, I grew up in blue because I'm from LA, but it was so fun to see the other team from SoCal do well that year. And just it was a group of people that really came together as a team for years. And that year they just hit.
Yes.
Watching the Angels win that year, one of my colleagues, actually the principal that hired me at this school, that was probably one of his happiest days because, well, you know, being surrounded by Dodger fans, having the Angels win the World Series, he could just walk around with his hat on, his jacket on, and nobody could say anything. And
Oh, yeah. The
he was a,
bragging rights that
oh,
come
yeah.
with that when your
Oh,
team
yeah.
wins, whether it's football, hockey, baseball, it's top of the line. Yeah.
Yeah. And that team was, again, so pure as a baseball team. If you are a fan of the sport, which I definitely am, it was fun to watch. So,
Yes.
yeah. Moving forward, your future, looking
Oh, man.
ahead, seeing what's going to happen, what's going on. You know, you talked a little bit about you appreciate the opportunity you have. If other opportunities pop up, including the dugouts in maybe Vegas, maybe wherever, that is such a prospect. How would you feel being able to run that type of program?
Oh man. I mean, I could cry. Like it's your whole life's work if you can make it to that level, right? It's such a privilege. Baseball is interesting because it's still a little bit of an old school type where you have to start at the bottom and you have to earn your stripes. So even though I did 7 years of Division I baseball, which you think, okay, I've managed a team by myself. I've traveled with them. Like, that's basically what the minor leagues is. You think it would give you a little bit of a leg up, but that was not the case. You know, I came into pro ball and I had never worked pro ball before. And so I started at the bottom. And to be honest, I'm grateful for that because it gives you a viewpoint that I don't think I would have appreciated as much. So now I have this double A position and I am just beyond grateful because it took 4 years to get here. So if I do get to the major league level, it's almost a needle in a haystack. You know, it's completely out of my hands if I get there. It doesn't matter how hard I work or, I mean, it does, but at the same time, like, there's a little bit of luck that gets sprinkled into it. Again, if nobody's leaving, then there's no jobs. So if I make it into a big league dugout, I would be just beaming. I would be so happy. I would be speechless. Thinking about it kind of gets me a little emotional because I feel like it's possible. I really see maybe a tiny glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. You just keep your head down, work hard, and do what you know is the right thing and just let it unfold. I will say there's two ways to get into a big league dugout for anyone that wants to go this route of professional baseball. You can either go the dugout route, which honestly, I think I prefer, or you can go the coordinator route. So you might start in Arizona, work a little bit of low A, high A, double A, and then the minor league medical coordinator position could open. So now instead of being with a team and traveling, you oversee all of the minor league athletic trainers and help coordinate those doctor's appointments and players moving up and down levels and all of that. So there's a minor league medical coordinator. And then from that position, you could become an assistant big league trainer. The dugout route is you work your way up every single level and you're always traveling with a team and you're always, you know, moving up. So you would go from rookie, low A, high A, double A, triple A. And from the triple A dugout, you could be asked to be a major league assistant. Now, you can jump levels, but again, time with the club is very valuable and it just depends on your organization. But from the most part, from my experience, it's kind of just one rung at a time, unless there's some movement or someone leaves or there's been some change up at the top. But yeah, for me, I think with the coordinator comes a lot of meetings and paperwork and things that I don't love. So
Administrative, got it.
could I be on my computer a lot and on the phone a lot? Yes, I could. But would I love it? No, that would be a very temporary stop for me. I would much rather prefer to be the AA and the AAA athletic trainer and then hope to work my way into a major league assistant dugout. That would be my path. But there are two ways.
I did not know that. So thank you again for educating me today. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just have one last question. If
Yeah.
you could throw out some advice to that student out there that's thinking about going into athletic training, kind of leaning towards baseball, what would you say to that young professional?
Especially if they're leaning into baseball. I don't know if there's any advice that I would give different into baseball versus any other sport necessarily. Now, especially since I've done professional volleyball and professional baseball, just know that, I feel like there's a few things I want to say, but I'm trying to pick like the most important one, and that's hard. And I
You
would
know
just.
what? Give us all of it, because any pearl for one professional might be better than the other.
Yeah.
So give them both. Give all three, whatever you got.
I would say, like we spoke about before, always continue learning, never stop learning. If there's a class you want, take it. It's going to give you an edge where someone else didn't take it. Now you're going to have that one little bead of knowledge that's going to help that player get better that someone else couldn't help them before. And every day is going to be different. So if you're getting frustrated that some days are long, some days are hard, the team's not winning, you're going to have days that are phenomenal, a day that you completely changed an athlete's life, a day that you were the reason that hopefully the team got together and got that big win and went and did extra. So don't let the hard days ruin the good days that are coming afterwards. I would say it's easy to go down the rabbit hole of I'm tired, I miss my friends, I never see my family. Is it worth it? Do I get paid enough? And the highs are high. Like they're great. So stay steady, stay true, because again, like there's going to be days to lift you up and days that might pull you back down. But if you can stay steady state, it's really a beautiful profession. It's really fun.
I would have to agree with you on all that. That's so true. It
Yeah.
is a beautiful profession
You
when
get
we.
paid to watch games. And hang out with the team. Like, how cool is that?
I can't tell you how often I hear that from my wife. All you do is sit and watch games. I'm like, boy, I picked a good career, right?
I love to keep it that simple, but you and I both know it's not that simple. Like,
Not at all.
we're keeping track of workload and heart rates and how's that ankle coming around first base and oh God, did the guy get enough warm-up time in the bullpen because he's gonna be called in because this guy can't finish and you're swirling, but it looks like you're just hanging out watching the game.
On a good day, on a
Yeah,
good day. Yep.
yeah,
And we're also extending their career.
exactly.
I'm going to keep using that and I'm going to quote you. I'm going to say, I got that from Rachel Purcell. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you. This has been so much fun and so easy. Thank you.
No, thank you. I really enjoyed this. This has been really great. And I would love to help in the future. If there's anything you guys need, or if you have students that are curious, please let them know that I'm more than happy to send an email or do like a quick little phone call if they have questions.
I appreciate that. And we're definitely going to circle back with you on that.
Okay,
No doubt.
great.
Thank you so much, Rachel. You have a wonderful day. Good luck this upcoming season in Midland. Hope the boys do well and good luck moving up to the next rung if that happens soon.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Have a great day and thanks for being on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Halleck. It is produced by Gabriel Halleck. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Halleck Consulting, LLC.